Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
February 19th, 2021. Good to see me finally coming through this time. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up. Thank you for joining me today. Today is going to be focused on one important topic. My comment right there was in reference to yesterday's show, in case you guys didn't see that, where the video didn't seem to come through for a very odd reason in the midst of so much other censorship. Today is going to be focused primarily on a really interesting article that was shared by Children's Health Defense, and something that what's important to understand is this is all that I do. I'm constantly combing through things, looking for stuff just like this, and I didn't see this. And I asked so many other people, and they said, I'd never even heard about that. Turns out this is something that happened mid-January. So when I use the word quietly in the title, it's important to understand why, because this is something that should have been discussed everywhere. And this is the use of the very least an approval within certain states in this country to use antimicrobial air treatments to fight COVID-19. Now, why that's so interesting and what I would say alarming is because of what's in it and how it's being used, not just from what Children's Health Defense pointed out, but from what the actual material safety data sheet says about the chemical being used in this material and what it actually means and what they've said about it and what somebody who I spoke to today on the phone from the company has to say about it. You'll find it all quite interesting, and even more so when you find out the contrast to how it's being framed by the people telling you it's going to save your life. Very interesting stuff. But we're also going to get into a couple more things about, a couple of quick points, let's put it that way, in the beginning, as well as some follow-ups and vaccines toward the end. Look quickly and you'll get a quick little insight to my dog, who never shows her face. She's right here. See, you're sticking her head up. She never does that. Rare sight to see my dog in the show. But let's get into the most important stuff today. We're going to start off. Oh, I'm jumping ahead there. Didn't mean to go all the way in the middle. We're going to start off today with a discussion of censorship, but not just censorship, but how you can see the fact that the government in any way is involved with telling companies what they should remove is exposing exactly what we've always been trying to point out for you. I mean, this is government censorship, which is really the most important kind. And that is what we're trying to point out here today. And this is from Reuters, exclusive White House working with Facebook and Twitter, to tackle anti-vaxxers. Now, it says the White House has been reaching out to social media companies, including Facebook, Twitter, and Alphabet Inc., Google, about clamping down on COVID misinformation and getting their help to stop it from going viral, a senior administration official says. Now, this was February 19th. This is today. This is talking about during what this is. This came out while I was being censored from Patreon and everything else in the same way. So it seems that this is the catalyst for why that all sort of happened. And it wasn't just me. Plenty of other people that I'm hearing. President Joe Biden, who has raced to curb the pandemic, it says, since taking office, has made inoculating Americans one of his top priorities and called the move a wartime effort. Again, right in line with Trump's narrative and rhetoric around this whole thing. But the idea that it's all about the vaccine. That's all it really is, curbing the pandemic, and made his efforts to inoculate all Americans the priority. And so that is what we're trying to protect. Not the information, the truth, but rather whether or not we can inoculate all the Americans. And if we're putting anything out, truth included, that challenges that or creates hesitancy of that thing, well, suddenly that's no longer allowed. And the government is saying, guys, Facebook, Twitter, do this. And they happily obliged. Patreon included, it would seem. Quote, disinformation that causes vaccine hesitancy is going to be a huge obstacle to getting everyone vaccinated. And there are no larger players in that than social media platforms. So it doesn't say it says disinformation that causes vaccine hesitancy. Remember that this is disinformation stated by people, that what is deemed disinformation is being deemed so by people that are suspect, people that we shouldn't be listening to, at least without question, or at least not without questioning them. Just get my words together today. But here, I was actually saving this for later down in the show. But suddenly it just seems relevant to write in this moment for this topic. I want to point this out. This is shared by Gregory Fiegel. He's saying, and actually, well, I might as well just show this too, since that was the part before it. I'll show this again in a minute. This is an incredible, incredible piece of non-journalism from the New York Times that says, don't go down the rabbit hole. Critical thinking, as we're taught to do it, isn't helping in the fight against misinformation. So thinking, as I said, wow, they went there. Thinking is the problem. Just follow. Any questions? Hashtag NYT don't think. But as this person points out, the International Fact-Checking Network at the Poynter Institute, this massive group of 100 fact-checkers around the world trying to fight against the misinformation of COVID-19. Well, you'll be quite surprised. This is the very flashy website with interesting things they're debunking. Holding your breath for 10 seconds is a good test of whether you have COVID. False! Never even heard that before. But take a look at who is on this group of people telling you what is and is not true about COVID-19. Charles Koch Foundation, Democracy Fund, Facebook, Foundation to Promote Open Society, Google News Initiative, John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, National Endowment for Democracy, otherwise known as CIA Regime Change, Omidyar Network. And this is the training partners. The Charles Koch Institute, Facebook, Huffington Post, NPR, Newsweek, New York Times, The Washington Post, TikTok, interesting, USA Today, Vice, Voice of America. You know, some of the most trustworthy names in nothing. It's just unbelievable. These are the people they're telling you that you should listen to. And if you're thinking anything else, well, you're crazy. Back to the point. Disinformation that causes vaccine hesitancy. Well, they're the ones deciding what is disinformation. So maybe to you, that makes sense. I wonder why you're listening to the show. Those people have been caught routinely lying about damn near everything they've ever talked about, let alone COVID-19. But now they're telling you if it causes vaccine hesitancy, we will not allow it. It says we are talking to them. So the government reached out, spoke to, and they admitted to doing so, which has never really been stated so clearly. The government, we reached out to these platforms and said, we need you to stop letting this content be shown. So they understand the importance of misinformation and disinformation and how they can get rid of it quickly. Well, that's good to know. I'm glad to know that you guys are openly stating that the government is working with these platforms to remove your content. If you needed any more evidence that they're doing so, here it is. They are dead. There are broken platforms that are being propped up by the government, and that is why they won't go away. And as well as the fact that a lot of people keep using them anyway. Now, I wanted to point this out in regard to the censorship we just discussed with Patreon, which as of the moment, it still seems to be there. We'll see if they follow up on their threat to remove my content unless I remove things about COVID-19. But here's what Justin Ryan had to say that I thought was a very, very relevant point. How can you spread misinformation behind a paywall? Now, one of the only platforms that I even have a paywall, meaning where you have to subscribe with a certain money subscription to be able to see what's going on. Now, on Patreon, I have it set up that way, but everyone on that platform knows they can see my content for free anywhere. The Patreon set up that way so you can simply support me if you want to support me in that way from Patreon. But nonetheless, if you're on Patreon, you're viewing things behind a paywall. So as he says, how can they justify getting between you and a paying audience? This is a rung above censorship. Have been boycotting them since I saw them ban others. I reached out to the EEF online, EEF, the Electronic Foundation, one of the fighting for your digital freedom, they say, and didn't get a response. Shocking. But that's a great point. And I want others out there that are dealing with this to recognize what this is saying. I think there's actually grounds for lawsuits or legal action here. Because if you're behind a paywall, people are paying to see it. There shouldn't be anything they can say about that because this is not some public thing. I mean, it is in a certain case, but not when it's in regard to Patreon. But they're doing it anyway because they're towing the line just like every other platform that's too afraid to to stand up for what they originally thought they stood for. They're cowards, as I said the other day. And by the way, I want to give a quick shout out to a lot of people that have shown me a lot of support after what happened with Patreon. People that are dropping the platform despite having lots of followers there. It means a lot to me. And I didn't ask for that, but it means a lot to me. People like Eva Bartlett, I just saw who she said she's going to drop the platform. Whether or not, the point is, a lot of support from people that are putting themselves out there in order to stand up for what they believe in. Someone like Eva Bartlett has always shown to be that kind of person that stands up for what's right. And I hope out there you guys are paying attention to who's doing so. Now on U.S. foreign policy, just a couple notes. Biden in his first major global speech says, we must tackle Iran's destabilizing activity. As I've said, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, aside from the narrative. At least, not in this case anyway, this is the same narrative, but it's this hashtag, different face, same agenda. Just recognize this is the same old thing. Round and around we go. And as I added down here after seeing, basically after he finally talked to Netanyahu and Netanyahu was confirmed, feels good that Biden's going to do what he tells him to do. Now he's like, okay, well, but he puts this out and says, U.S. return to the old deal will pave Iran's path, a nuclear arsenal. I said, meet the new boss. literally the old boss. He's been saying this for 30 years. Never been true. My point is that now that Biden's towing the line and going, bad, bad guy, Iran, bad guy. Now Israel feels better. Now they're going to say, okay, now we like Biden and everything agrees. And we already see, and to that exact point, the next one, actually, might as well, this one, we'll say it next since we're talking about Israel. The money flowing out of this country, even during what's happening, well, you can't feed your family, never changes. The U.S. allocated $500 million for Israel's missile defense systems for the 2021 fiscal year. Now, yes, this didn't happen under Biden, but it's continuing. The U.S. and Israel have begun developing the Arrow 4, a new generation of ballistic missile defense. So not only are they helping build munitions for a foreign country with your money during a pandemic, so we're told that you can't, during a situation where you don't have a job and can't feed your family. Why is this what's still happening? Why is this what's important to our government when this is the most dangerous thing in a century, except we're going to continue all our agendas, but you can't do what you normally do? In 2016, the Obama administration signed a military aid agreement with Israel known as the Memorandum of Understanding. Of course, because they understand who's in control. Under this MOU, the U.S. will provide $38 billion in military aid to Israel from 2019 to 2029. On top of that, they've added all kinds of other things for Israel's government, which is horrible for a lot of reasons. One, because Israel doesn't need it. Two, because it comes from your pocket, even though we don't agree with that by and large. And I'm talking about any foreign military spending, not just with Israel. Americans, by and large, do not agree with continued military spending. We don't. That's constantly showed with military, with wars. And I mean, in general, I'm talking about the people, not Congress. Recognize how little they actually can. The ratio seems to represent what people actually want. They don't care what you think. That should be clear by now. But it goes on to say for the 2021 fiscal year, the Trump administration requests $500 million in grants for Israel's missile defense. That's on top of the $38 billion. And then, by the way, there was also money included in our stimulus packages that was supposed to save you from COVID, but spent money on foreign governments and military agendas. So how much has Israel actually gotten from us? It's way more than we think. From your pocket. The defense establishment is working around the clock to shield Israel's skies from ballistic threats, says Israel, with your tax dollars and a lot of your effort from the U.S. military and the government. It's just incredible that this is happening. Look, again, this upsets me because Israel is a government that's actively committing war crimes all around the world, and the UN has never said otherwise. But it doesn't matter who it is. This could be France, and it would piss me off because the money coming out of your pockets, one, shouldn't be going to the government, but two, shouldn't be then going somewhere else. These are things that should be going to help you. Stimulus packages should go to nobody but Americans who need help, but that's what's happening right now. They're claiming stimulus and then spending money everywhere else. May have seen some buffering. Doesn't look like it's too bad. Now, on top of that, just remember, this will always continue, whatever the narrative, the justification. When I said that they weren't ever going to leave Iraq or they weren't ever going to leave Afghanistan, I didn't say why or what narrative they would pull out of the ether that day. Because right now they're already saying, well, we're not going to leave Afghanistan anytime soon. And here it is because of the rockets that clearly just played right into the same old narrative from, you know, kinds of rockets that wouldn't have been used by the people they're saying use them and so on. It's the same old narrative on repeat. NATO increasing troops to Iraq from 500 to 4,000. NATO describes its presence in Iraq as a security training mission. Well, gee, they've been in a security training mission for like 20 years. I wonder how much more security training they need, or if maybe, just maybe, that's not what's actually happening. The announcement comes after a rocket attack on a U.S. military base in Iraq. Yeah, exactly. Same old thing. We were going to leave, but then that rocket, and now we're going to stay. Over and over and over. Bombshell report claims U.S. to hit Russia with new sanctions over Nord Stream 2, but leaves Germany alone because it's not really about what they're saying it's about. It's just pathetic. If you think this is illegal, wrong, or deserving of sanctions, Germany is equally playing a part. The point is, it's not illegal, wrong, or deserving of sanctions. This is a normal country doing business with another country that just agrees on what they're trying to accomplish. The U.S. doesn't like being left out of the profits or the control, so they go, no, you can't do that, Russia. But we'll ignore Germany this time. By the way, previously Trump was saying they were just as... It's pathetic to see how clearly they are off the rails when it comes to any kind of law or international standard. They just have nothing that guides them. You cannot sanction a country for doing something normal, as especially when they're doing it with your ally. But they're doing it anyway, which shows you how illegal and just complete the lawlessness that they're operating under. Unilateral sanctions are illegal anyway. One government cannot unilaterally sanction another country without international support, but the U.S. government does it every day. Every day. So do a lot of countries now, but the U.S. government were the ones that really kicked that off. Now, going into the weather discussion we touched on yesterday, I want to make a couple of quick points. Just how infuriating this is, and it's continuing, but not that. The fact that on top of all that's happening, you're being charged still. Like, this is what we keep seeing. And it's going to make you even more upset when you see something next. But this is outrages. Morph into outrage. That's an interesting title. Outrages morph into outrage. Yes, Texans slapped with mind-blowing power bills. I feel like they changed that because I didn't catch it the first time I read it. But the point was, Texans, while they don't have power, are being hit with massive power bills. And does that make sense to anybody? I mean, look, at the end of the day, whether it's intermittent or not, you're, if you're being charged with a massive bill, how does that make sense when there's even rolling blackouts? Plunged 15 million Texans into darkness. And remember, that's because of their failures. About 188,000 customers were without power in the state on Friday morning, days after power prices jumped from $50 per megawatt to more than $9,000 per megawatt. The horror stories pour in for those who had power this week during grid chaos as they are mind-boggled about how their energy bills skyrocketed, right? So the energy companies are struggling, so they put that on you during a time when you can't feed your family because clearly they're all about you. The government cares about you. You want to find something, you want to see something even more alarming? Well, here's a great channel, Arcadian Economics, I'm not really familiar with, but a couple of great videos he did where he's walking around in Austin showing you that during this period where nobody has power, all these big companies downtown have their entire parking lots lit up, have massive signs plant above their buildings with their lights on, have windows on, wind lights everywhere with nobody in the building. Gee, I wonder who's paying for that. Probably you with your big, massive bill when you don't have power. This is the kind of gross abuse of power that this country has become known for. Excuse me, I take that back. That this government has become known for. They're abusing you in any sense. I mean, this is why we have situations in Texas where you have a huge hurricane and they come in and go, we'll give you aid that your tax dollars pay for as soon as you sign this document that says you won't boycott Israel, which literally happened, which a lot of people have talked about. How is that even possible? It's because they don't care about you. You are a means to an end to achieve their goals. What we should strive for is getting people in a position where people that are making decisions about what goes on actually care about the people underneath that. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, you can go through his videos for yourself. Check out his channel. He's got a couple of them where he's walking around showing you where there's water just running constant in the bottom of a parking lot where no one's in there. I mean, my thought was, are they literally trying to run up these bills so that they can then, I mean, the idea is if there's companies, power companies, let's say, or whoever who's trying to create usage to be able to charge people for, because they're not getting paid when everything's out, understand? I mean, who knows what's ultimately happening? But if we have individuals who are getting $50 per megawatt or $9,000, when you don't have power, there's obviously something wrong. As well as it says, pandemic precautions, you know, because COVID is so dangerous, left some Texas shelters closed as homeless froze to death. You know, the homeless who are seemingly unaffected by COVID-19, but because COVID-19, we're not going to allow them into the area where they will continue to not be affected by COVID-19 and instead let them froze outside where they won't be affected by COVID-19. Great. Good job. I'm glad you care about people. Or you care about the narrative and the agenda. Which one do you think is more important to them? Now, there's been a lot of discussion about I was seemingly the first person that brought this up in the conversation about what I saw in regard to China. You can't really see this here. This is the article about China, their weather modification. There's a lot of people talking about this. And you go back to the previous hurricane. I did an entire show on how it was very obvious that this hurricane was manipulated. I mean, it's unbelievably obvious and people just aren't ready to understand what they were looking at. Can they manipulate weather? Obviously, that's an open secret. I talked about it previously. Is there any proof in my mind that this is what happened here other than the weirdly unprecedented scenarios? Not so far. But when I do see something, I'll point it out. But the point with yesterday is that there is no reason we should be afraid to ask those questions, because there's clearly a lot of this that aligns with what all the many different agendas that are happening right now. My first thought was just simply seeing whether or not how we would respond to such infrastructure problems. We saw certain things in the beginning of the pandemic that did the same thing where they basically had things happened that weren't necessarily real, and they just saw how we responded. But as this author points out, this British writer, the Texas crisis has again shown how America is both unable and unprepared to protect its own people. It says the U.S.'s poor national infrastructure has been highlighted once more this week with shocking blackouts in Texas, the inevitable consequence of Washington spending its money on bombs rather than investing for its public good. Let that sink in, guys. I mean, really understand what that is saying, as we're continually showing you that, right? That they are simply spending money in ways that benefit their agenda at the expense of you. That's always been the case. I mean, even think about how they're pointing to places like Venezuela with blackouts and going, so, I mean, they're making the same excuse, the same argument, saying, look at them. They have blackouts, are just such bad government, right? Well, here we are. There's no shadowy figure over here making this happen in Texas. This is simply due to malfeasance, or maybe a better word, just negligence from the government. But sure, we've got lots of bombs murdering people in Somalia, and so we're good, though, right? Good times. Well, jumping over to a couple more comments I have about the mask discussion, but more so about some follow-ups to this that I wanted to point out. And again, thinking about this, I just can't believe this. Critical thinking, as we're taught to do it, isn't helping the fight against misinformation. Of course not. Hold on, let me adjust this window really quickly. There we go. Thinking is the problem. Just follow. Any questions? Here's the actual article. Don't go down the rabbit hole. Now, the point, what's interesting is there's this one as well. I just talked about this the other day. You must not do your own research when it comes to science. You know what a synonym for do your own research is? Due diligence. So are they really telling you not to do your due diligence? Not to actually think and consider things, but just to blindly take? I mean, how does that apply? So you see, understand what they're saying is only do this when it comes from us, right? Because you understand that they're telling you not to do your own research. That means they wouldn't do their own research in regard to some fringe conspiracy theorist that send them some information. But you see, they're hoping you assume now that they're bad guy stuff, but we're always good guy stuff. So you just trust us. But don't do your own research, though. It's because they know that if you do so, you'll quickly begin to realize that they're lying to you. So they've, I guess, taken their last opportunity to be like, no, just stop thinking, please. But on that note, remember the discussion we just had about this. Sounds gross, but a moist mask is good for you. Horrifyingly stupid and ignorant of the science, which we painfully went over yesterday all in its entirety. But I came to find out today when you actually click on the link again of the PDF, it's gone. Or at least it won't come up now. But let's see if it does now. I tried earlier today before we went live. It might be loading. Let's see. Nope, still down. Which I found very odd. So the PDF, and it is an NIH study, is no longer there. And even the article itself that was posting to the study link right here, when you click on that, now takes you to this Wayback Machine page where they were, I guess, trying to do an archive and it didn't work. So even they recognized that it was gone. But don't worry, because I still have it up right here, which you can see, as well as right here on the NIH page. So it doesn't seem that they're necessarily trying to, but what they don't have is a link to the actual study, it appears, maybe somewhere in there. In any case, here it also is on Biophysical Journal. Hydrating the respiratory tract, an alternative explanation why masks lower the severity of COVID-19, even though they sort of say it differently here. Well, I guess it's sort of the same. But the real point on this was simply remembering the significant part where it says right here, the well-documented finding is surprising, where they're saying that it links to having less issues with face masks, despite the random control trial saying the exact opposite. This well-documented finding is surprising considering that such masks are poor at filtering the smallest aerosolized particles. So admitting what we've always been saying, that they don't work in regard to aerosolized particulates, which is how this spreads, but then saying which can reach the lower respiratory tract and have associated with severe disease, meaning exactly what we've always been arguing that they continue to censor me for, which is this can't happen with masks, which pulls bacteria in your lungs, which causes bacterial pneumonia, which causes systemic inflammation, which causes all the things we're talking about. But I'm fake news, though, even though the NIH just literally said exactly what I said, which they called fake news. Isn't that dumb? Well, all of this is dumb. But the point is, even as they continue to sell this to you from the NIH, where was it? Right here? Oh, this one right here. I had it on the bottom. Just so you can see, NIH supplied the masks, and the NIH funded it. This works was supported by the NIH. Just so you know, just so that's clear. But here's what's interesting. This came out from the NIH days ago. But here is something from February 12th. Doctors. Well, which ones? Who cares? Doctors say wet masks don't protect from COVID. Okay, so they're telling you it might make your lungs hydrated, even though I think that's really ignorant of pneumonia and bacteria, but they don't work when they're wet. So what's the point? What are they actually arguing? Because this isn't new, by the way. There's constant. This has been everywhere. Wet masks should be replaced. Doesn't work. Here's another one from October. Face masks are less effective in the rain, warns the WHO. Uh-oh, can't challenge the WHO. Here's another one, and you'll love this video, which is perfect. Verify. So here's a fact checker. Remember how accurate these fact checkers are? Yes, you should swap out your wet mask for a dry one. So could they be wrong? Sure. But they're fact checkers. So you're supposed to listen to them, right? Well, let's listen to what they have to say.
When it comes to mask wearing, there are a lot of conflicting opinions on social media. That's why the Verify team is here to get you the facts from the vetted experts.
Okay, so the facts from the vetted experts. And they're telling you, yes, you should swap out your mask for a dry one. Okay, so if the vetted experts are telling you that wet masks don't work, who are we supposed to listen to? Here's the NIH saying the opposite. Aren't they vetted experts? I'm sure you see where I'm going here. Which expert do you listen to? They're both approved according to the mainstream media, but both of them are saying different things, literally diametric opposite things. So can we not take a minute and reflect on how it is possible to have experts with credentials disagree? Or even more so that they're actively trying to confuse you. Either way, when we come out with people such as, PhDs and Nobel laureates and experts that are coming out and challenging the entire narrative, and all they do is go, that guy's been debunked, recognize that these people aren't even challenging themselves because they're just towing the line, because this is really dumb. And if you actually, I should have had that up so I can remember to include it, but if you actually want to go back to that and watch the show I did yesterday, I highly recommend you do. There's actually two of them you can see on the homepage. NIH says moist masks are good for you. This one is masks lead to bacterial pneumonia, oral thrush, and systemic inflammation. And then let me open these two just so I have them. And then there's also bacterial pneumonia. I might as well include them since we're pointing it out. Now, this one is the first one I did. The first one where I'm diving into the concept of, do they cause bacterial pneumonia? All three of those are relevant to this discussion. All of them have been censored, manipulated, and disregarded. Just interesting to recognize that. Now, what you should be doing is listening to the experts, where the actual studies that say, well, ambient temperature and humidity strongly affect the inactivation rate of enveloped viruses. We find that SARS-CoV-2 survives longest at low temperatures and extreme relative humidities. Median estimated half-life is over 24 hours at 10 degrees Celsius and 40% relative humidity, but approximately 1.5 hours at 27 Celsius and 65 relative humidity. Our mechanistic model uses simple chemistry to explain the increase in virus inactivation rate with increased temperature and U-shaped dependence on inactivity rate and relative humidity. Breaking it down at the end of the day, that's the one we referenced the other day, that basically comes out to show that the exact temperatures that they're pointing out in this study for why they increase your hydration of your lungs increases how long the virus can be around. So it just, they completely ignored how the bacteria involved in the scenario, what the effects the humidity has on any bacteria or virus, because that's perfect. The high humidity is perfect for breeding any kind of negative microbe or whatever you want to call it. So the point is that they just didn't care about it. They just wanted to tell you what they wanted to say so they could push about their narrative of masks. But as I always point out, here are the experts saying the opposite of what they said. May 20th. Here's the experts from the New England Journal of Medicine. All these will be in here, all challenging what they said. Here's the Swiss Policy Research saying that there's little to no evidence for how these are effective. Here's the one saying that they have all kinds of horrible effects on kids. Here's one saying that they have no effect in regard to what they're saying. All the same stuff we're telling you, or that there's moisture retention and it causes infections. All these, most of them anyway, are random controlled trials showing you all that, but you mostly have seen it because you've watched this show. But all of it's there, challenging what they're saying, and it continues. Now, here's some good news. As the Highwire points out, the main argument made by commissioners, this is a quote, resolved around public spaces where some people just refuse to wear masks. With the governor's order in place, Brody said there's simply nothing the city can do about it. It's good news. This, Sarasota commissioners vote,
Sarasota's doing away with,
I hate these autoplays, vote to remove city mask mandate. Yeah, people are really upset about it, but recognize we are beginning to see this. And so what I really want people to think about is the clear difference between what the media is telling you is the mass majority opinion and then what we're continuing to see happen. Because they're going to scream at you that you're dumb, crazy conspiracy theorist, such as that entire store in Florida or seemingly all of Florida or all these different locations where people are just flouting the laws and not doing it, or excuse me, the illegal mandates. The majority does not agree with this. And I just don't know how I can make that any more clear. The only thing that's happening is the mainstream is telling you the majority agrees with this. And yeah, and they're pushing into your view a very, a percentage of people that are the most vocal and uninformed. And yeah, when you go out in the day, you're going to come across the people that are most vocal and uninformed because they're the ones that push their feelings into your face. The people out there that are wearing masks may not agree with it. They may just want to not deal with that guy. They may just think that they're the minority because the media told them so. At the end of the day, when we have commissioners removing mandates in cities and states pushing back, all kinds of stuff happening around the world, entire countries elsewhere doing the same thing, there's enough out there. We have the momentum and people are going to see this or they're going to ignore it. In any case, it's happening. Now we need your help to continue pushing this out. I really do hope that you'll take the time to check these studies out and the information therein. As always, in every single thing I do from this show, you'll find all these source links to all these mass studies. 5 NIH National Library of Medicine studies from 2004 to 2020, all finding verifiable health effects from wearing a face mask, including scientifically verified reduction in blood oxygen level. All of them. Cloth mask study I just showed you in regard to infections and how it increases. Only random controlled trial you're going to find, even though they continue to cite observational, all kinds of things, and flat out lie that there's no random controlled trials in regard to cloth masks. And just some of the studies on the efficacy of masks in regard to what the point is we're making, that they do not have a statistically significant reduction in transmission. Some of these studies, in fact, make the argument that they have a purpose and they do this and they do that. But at the end of the day, they come to the same conclusion. There is not a statistically significant reduction in transmission, which is the only thing that matters in regard to, especially when you remember that they are, in fact, causing health problems. Way more, in my opinion, than reduction of blood oxygen level. We're talking about hypoxia, hypercapnia, potential issues with bacterial pneumonia in your lungs, potential periodontal disease, gum disease. It's bad. I mean, and this is only because we're wearing them in these temperatures with moisture for extended periods of time. That's why. And they compare it to, oh, well, these nurses do it all the time. No, they don't. Ask any honest nurse. They will tell you that they do not wear these things for all day long, every time they move them. And that's the other point someone just made. Even when they do have to wear them for extended periods of time, they can take them off when they want to. They can go somewhere, take a break. I mean, that's not happening for us right now. But jumping into the next discussion, which is the most important part of today's show. RFK Jr. posted this article. Georgia and Tennessee are the first states to gain approval to diffuse chemical known to trigger asthma and other serious respiratory illnesses. Oh yeah, see? That's why I hate those. Oh yeah, I'm just going to go, yeah, leave it there. That's why I did that last time. Leave it on that page. Horrible, you know, honest mainstream media with pop-ups and paywalls and it's ridiculous. Other serious respiratory illnesses in schools, healthcare, food, processing facilities, and interstate transportation. What do you know? Here's a great article. EPA approves chemical air treatment against COVID despite known health hazards. In mid-January, that's really important to me. That's my point before. In mid-January, the EPA approves a request from two states, one of which many of you know I am in. That's where my P.O. box is. Tennessee. Approves requests from two southern states. So how is nobody talking about this? I'm looking. I didn't see it. So it's pretty clear this is something that they're not advertising aggressively to be like, look at how great this is. Why would that be? Mid-January, approved request from two southern states asking for emergency exemption that would allow them to aerosolize selected indoor spaces with an antiviral air treatment called Grignard Pure. Now, yes, these states asked for it, but recognize the point I keep making about even left and right. It's your government. Sure, it's your state government, but your government is approving this for your use without really making sure, in my opinion, that it's something that shouldn't you have a right to ask, to vote, to express your opinion on whether you want chemicals sprayed in places where your children will be? Grignard Pure is this is the part I'm sure will catch people's attention. Grignard Pure, surprise, surprise, is a nanoparticle-based product. Isn't that interesting how clearly everything seems to be nano lately? All the nanoparticles. Now, remember, it's also important to remember that a nanoparticle simply implies that it's a nano-sized particle. Now, nanoparticles are nanotechnology, but there's some things that are nanotechnology that are not necessarily just a small particle, right? That they'll use this thing interchangeably. But for instance, you can have what's the term we used before? Like biosensors, actual little machines that are smaller than the size of a grain of salt that can end up, we just talked about smart dust the other day. Smart dust smaller than the size of a grain of salt back in 2004. That's not a secret. It's easy to look up. There's literally dust that you could breathe in, that could go in your bloodstream, that actually runs on your body's vibration or other forms from your body. 2004, imagine what they can do now. Now, those are nanoparticles, but they're also nanotechnology in regard to the sense of actually technology. But remember, you can have a nano-sized particle of something that I would argue is not necessarily technology in the way that we think about it. Regardless, these things are used sort of synonymously, so it doesn't really matter. But I want you to understand that they could mean just simply a nano-sized piece of something else. But the point is, when we get into it, you'll find out that it's just as alarming as the vaccine. It says its active ingredient is a substance called triethylene glycol, TEG. We've talked about polyethylene glycol, PEG, that Dr. Lyons Wheeler has pointed out, saying that they're dangerous, that he warned them about and they didn't care, that RFK Jr. has tried to point out that they didn't care. Well, now we're talking about triethylene glycol, which is equally alarming and related. The EPA's approval slid in under Section 18 of none other than the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, the FIFRA. Doesn't sound like any of those things. Doesn't sound like an insecticide or a... Jeez. And here's another one. Wow. Classy mainstream media. Doesn't sound like an insecticide. Doesn't sound like a fungicide. Didn't sound like something that you would be spraying in places where your children will be. But it says, which allows the agency to green light pesticides. Because that's what this Section 18 is about, which I'll show you in a minute. But we're not talking about pesticides. I don't really see anybody try to explain that, other than the argument would be that this is a pesticide that has this use in regard to fighting viruses, or that they've adapted it to fight viruses, but I don't think any American would be comfortable with knowing they're spraying pesticides in places where you'll be that could have effects on your body. But it also says that the agency allowed the green light for pesticides for unregistered uses. That's the point. So they're taking pesticides that are used in different ways and using them in regard to fighting COVID-19 in defined geographical areas for up to a year during public health emergencies deemed urgent and non-routine. But this is when I want to get into the point that are we actually in a position where this is an emergency? Didn't we just argue that numbers are going down dramatically? We did, and it is happening. Plus, they're telling us we have the silver bullet of a vaccine, which I disagree with, but within their narrative, why do we need this? Why do we need to pump chemicals at people in places that have potential side effects? Doesn't seem like an urgent need. Definitely non-routine. Now, there's also a timeline being put on that, but again, you won't find that anywhere, and I argue it'll just be until they say otherwise, but there's a very specific point in two things I'll show you where they're supposed to tell you exactly how long it will take, but that's not happening. Up to a year, this is what this says. Grignard Pure contains TEG, as a standalone chemical compound, but TEG is also a component of some polyethylene glycol compounds, those of low molecular weight. So not only that, the PEGs in the vaccines, but TEG is a component of some of the polyethylene glycol compounds. Since last summer, Children's Health Defense has raised urgent questions about the presence of PEG in the nanoparticle-based mRNA vaccine development by Pfizer and Moderna, authorized by the U.S. the FDA for emergency use against COVID. That's in regard to the vaccine. Now, remember, the idea of this emergency use is that it's not technically approved. It's simply, it's authorized for emergency use, which is different. And there's different things that there's different metrics that need to be met for one versus the other. You'll find quickly that I find it really telling that everyone's reporting this as this was just approved, even though it seems even though in documentation, that's not exactly how it's being framed, but it's being framed even by the EPA like that. Now it says, oh, and this is interesting, in December 14th, this is actually a press release in letters to leaders at the HHS and the FDA and the NIAID. Children's Health Defense warned about the PEG's known association with adverse immune responses, including life-threatening anaphylaxis, right? We've talked about this, which we now see happening, even though they warned them and they didn't care. And the immune responses. We talked about the pathogenic priming and the antibody-dependent enhancement, antibody-dependent enhancement, molecular mimicry. These are all things where your body ends up attacking yourself based on factors from this vaccine. It says an estimated 72% of the general population has anti-PEG antibodies. They can set those individuals up for adverse reactions, like severe ones that could be potentially lethal. We've already talked about this. And how in the world can 72% of the population, even according to Wikipedia, be at risk from something that they're telling everybody has to take? And then pretending like, no, there's not adverse reactions, even though we can see that that's absolutely possible. It says pharmaceutical and biotech companies are acutely aware of the correlation between anti-drug antibodies and increased adverse effects, and acknowledge that the phenomenon poses a vexing and serious clinical problem. But of course, they don't care because they'll argue COVID is just so dangerous that we're willing to ignore those problems. As always, doing things wildly unsafe for your safety, because that totally makes sense. In light of the interrelationship between PEG and TEG, the planned diffusion of nanoparticle-based TEG in public spaces, including through building heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Now, even if these aren't taking place when people are in the areas, understand that these things, to some degree, will end up being present if you're in areas like heating and ventilation. Introduces important new questions. Could individuals already sensitized to PEG, and this is the important part they're making in this article, could individuals already sensitized to PEG, whether in the vaccines or the ubiquitous use of them in the world, go into anaphylaxis when they inhale TEG? Or conversely, might people who are exposed to aerosolized TEG then become sensitized to PEG and run the risk of an adverse reaction when they subsequently encounter a PEG-containing mRNA injection or another PEG-elated drug? Now, it says the Grignard company describes itself as an innovative leader in specialty chemical solutions for every industry need, ranging from precision cleaners and wastewater treatments to, quote, atmospheric effects for the entertainment industry, which is what seems to be the basis for this. In fact, the company's Grignard FX branch is North America's, quote, largest partner of theatrical fog and haze fluids for movies, stadium concerts, and theater, as well as being the manufacturer of stage blood promoted as so realistic they'll freak you out. The company now intends to parlay its extensive theatrical experience into the realm of atmospheric viricides, promising, quote, a light atmospheric haze throughout an indoor space that inactivates enveloped viruses such as the novel coronavirus on non-porous hard surfaces and in the air. So first of all, that clearly so what about everything else? Seemingly plenty of other spaces where there's porous, which could easily the same way, but you know, just who cares? Keep that in mind, by the way, because I might forget to bring that up later. The idea that that's one of the caveats in regard to one of the things we're going to get into next, but it says in an example of the revolving regulatory industry door, a four-decade veteran of EPA pesticide regulation, guess what, is now a leading consultant for Grignard. That's how this always works. which, by the way, is probably why they got this in general. It is a incestuous, what's the term they use for? Oh, I'm blanking on the term for, you know, benefiting your family when you shouldn't be, nepotism. But in any sense, it's not necessarily nepotism because it's maybe not be the family, but it's the same idea that we're talking about people doing what's best for them and for the company and for profit and for, you know, agreements between the government and these companies at the expense of you. I mean, just look at how many other conflicts of interest we have right now in regard to all of what's happening. Now, it says the EPA's emergency go-ahead permits Georgia and Tennessee to diffuse yard pure continuously. That's important. Continuously. In quote, break rooms, locker rooms, bathrooms, lobbies, elevators, eating areas, food preparation areas in government, healthcare, and food processing facilities, as well as interstate transportation. Anywhere, quote, where people are conducting activity deemed essential by the state. The EPA endorsed the product's emergency use in preparation and eating areas, despite warnings in the triethylene glycol safety data sheet not to store TEG near food, foodstuffs, or potable water supplies. Who cares, though, right? Because COVID's dangerous. Because COVID bad. So we'll ignore all the possible dangers because those aren't as important as the danger that's really not actually there in regard to what this is. So we're going to pump this into areas where it could be near your food, despite the express warning. Now, what you'll find is there's a weird crossover between this fog product they had and what they're doing now, even though it contains the same nanoparticle. The problem is that they say one thing about this fog and act like it doesn't exist for the other. It says the EPA endorsed the product's emergency use in food preparation and eating areas. I just read that, despite the problems. Did the EPA conduct an objective assessment of benefits versus risks? Usually, I mean, we've seen this example before. This is not what's happening with COVID-19. Lockdowns is a perfect example, not for the EPA, but for the larger discussion. The agency's press release does not say whether they did that, which usually is the case, nor does it include any warning other than a one-sentence statement that, quote, TEG may be an irritant for sensitive populations. Then it says Canadian fog and smoke safety guidelines for the live performance industry, on the other hand, specify that high-risk individuals such as, you know, children, pregnant women, and people with asthma, serious illnesses, should avoid exposure. I wonder why one says that and the other one doesn't, even though it's the same triethylene glycol that causes the problem. Confusingly, the TEG safety data sheet warns that, quote, repeated excessive aerosol exposures may cause respiratory tract irritation, even death. But reports, quote, no relevant information found pertaining to respiratory toxicity. This may be because most TEG toxicity studies have focused on oral or dermal exposure, your skin, rather than inhalation. And primarily have studies studied reproductive endpoints or carcinogenicity. Now, the point is they are talking about this stuff ending up on your skin, but not studying what happens when you breathe it in, which is obviously the important part of this. Vaccines, we're talking about PEG in your body. That's why this is relevant. So now they're saying, well, we don't have anything that shows that, but that's because they haven't studied whether or not it hurts you when you breathe it in, at least in that regard. Now it says a 2007 study of TEG toxicology premised on the now obsolete assumptions that, quote, aerosol exposure is not a usual exposure mode. Right. So now obviously the point is they're still basing it on that stuff, on that claim, but this is now based on aerosol exposure. So it makes it moot, but it says, and that TEG exposure is mainly occupational, concluded that, quote, repeated exposures to a TEG aerosol may result in respiratory tract irritation with cough, shortness of breath, tightness of the chest. What does this all sound like? I mean, look, whether we're talking about creating the side effects that could be claimed to look like COVID-19, or whether or not we're adding to the problem of what we just discussed with the mask, what we just discussed with all the other aspects of this, with the hypoxia, with the idea of the bacterial pneumonia, that we're talking about respiratory tract irritation, even things that can increase your risk of respiratory disease. So yet again, we have a treatment that possibly is increasing what's going on. Now, if you really believe that these people are doing this because they want to be able to point to something and continue to use it, well, here's an answer. Here's a possibility right here. Because it doesn't seem they're giving any discussion or concern to all of this stuff. It says another study conducted in 2019 reported that rats exposed to an aerosol combination of TEG and a disinfectant for 2 weeks exhibited severe respiratory symptoms, as well as, quote, significant ulceration and degenerative necrosis in the nasal cavities. Now it says, what about nanoparticles? In September 2020, Brazilian researchers published an extensive discussion of nanotechnology for COVID-19 virus management. Interesting, because this is very relevant to the whole discussion of nanotechnology and how, since I'm, you know, got to talk about it next, how these documents I've already shown you from the government reveal their plan to alter evolution with nanotechnology. I was going to grab it real quick since I have this open. Well, I don't want to take the time to find it real quick, but I recommend you go through the show. I should have, as always, I'm looking back. I should have grabbed this before we went live. Oh, maybe it's right here. Well, this is the main document anyway, so at least I'll include that. But I hope, I recommend you watch the show so you can go over this information as it loads. But this is the document that came out, and this is absolutely tied back to the government, to the U.S. government, discussing converging technologies for improving human performance. Nanotech, biotech, information technology, and cognitive. And it's very clear what they talk about. I mean, it's not there. This was at a time when people didn't really understand what they were saying. The integration and synergy of the four technologies originate from the nanoscale, where the building blocks of matter are established. Right? They're talking about what was the quote? Alter evolution. 60. Oh, well. Well, you, I'm going to show it to you really quickly. Obviously, I didn't have this set up. But the point is, it's all very clear in this about what they're trying to accomplish. And I go over it all in the show. And they're telling you, in 20 years, we're going to alter evolution with nanotechnology. And that was about 20 years ago. So as we're sitting in this discussion now, realize that that's why everything is centering around this. They were telling you then that we're going to change everything. We're going to use nanotech in every possible way. And suddenly, a couple years ago, it all just got kind of quiet. Didn't stop, though, did it? So in September 2020, in the middle of this going on, Brazilian researchers published this discussion saying, well, nanotechnology for COVID management, of course. Although eager to play up nanotechnology's current to potential anti-COVID applications, including in disinfectants, personal protective equipment, nano-based sensors, enhanced activity drugs, and nano-based vaccines, the authors also acknowledged some bottlenecks. One of the major ones being to ensure nanomaterials' safe use. It says, without high quality in your body studies, it is impossible to fully understand the toxokinetic behavior of the nanoparticles in your body, which hasn't happened. Maybe that's what's happening right now. Real world simulation. Maybe they're doing it right now to you and testing whether this is, I mean, that's happening, whether you think it's for this reason or not. They're monitoring what's happening with these and taking notes and testing this stuff. It's an experiment. You are the experiment. But maybe it has to do with the nanoparticles, and that's what we're dealing with. This is the first in vivo study about how this affects the world and whether or not they can use it to drive their great reset. It says, as far as scientists in the burgeoning field of nanotechnology are concerned, the sky's the limit for nanotech applications. However, these same experts also freely admit that nanoparticles have toxic effects that are, quote, a strong limiting factor hindering their wider use. Apparently not now, though, right? So in September of 2020, they're concerned about the nanoparticles and how they'll you know, affect your body. And right now, they're already using them in Georgia and Tennessee to fight COVID-19. So now you have a vaccine that has it. Now you also have something pumped in the air that has it. The small size, it says, of nanoparticles allows them to be carried by the bloodstream and lymph stream. Remember all the lymph node things we were seeing the other day? To different organs and tissues, including the brain, heart, liver, kidney, spleen, bone marrow, nervous system. All these things seemingly being affected by COVID in a weird different ways, or maybe not. Experiments modeling the toxic effects of nanoparticles on the body have shown that nanoparticles cause thrombosis. Thrombosis, meaning local coagulation or clotting of the blood in part of the circulatory system. Also seems interesting with the blood and all the different things we talked about, blood diseases, inflammation of the upper and lower respiratory tracts, neurodegenerative disorders, stroke, myocardial infraction, and other disorders. Note that nanoparticles may enter not only organs, tissues, and cells, but also mitochondria, nuclei. This may drastically alter cell metabolism and cause DNA lesions, mutations, and cell death. So here are scientists in 2020 telling you that these nanoparticles that are in your vaccine can, in fact, cause mutations in your body. But, you know, only listen to Fauci because that's all fake news, according to them. But it says, unfortunately for the Georgia and Tennessee residents who are about to be continuously exposed to Grignard Pure, with Nevada possibly being next in line due to heavy lobbying by Las Vegas entrepreneurs, neither Grignard nor the EPA are addressing the thorny safety issues of potential TEG-PEG cross-reactivity, toxic buildup of nanoparticles in the body, or synergistic toxicity from TEG-nanoparticle interactions. Think about the idea of glyphosate and how ubiquitous it is, and how we have things from years ago where every member of parliament tests their urine sporadically, and every one of them had glyphosate in their urine. They test every one of the organic wines in Napa Valley. Every one of them got glyphosate. They test the craft beers in Germany, which it's lifetimes, generations that they've spent doing this. All of them had, or I think most of them had glyphosate, which, by the way, ruins their business. It's because it's everywhere. It's all across. It's in your clothes. It's in the air you're breathing. And no one knows what the real side effects are because they hide everything. Glyphosate is shown to cause all kinds of problems. So think about that in regard to what they're saying here. That this is something that could have all kinds of cross-reactivity with all kinds of things. And it's even specifically in regard to the two things together. You're just going to pump this into the world and not concern yourself with whether it will react with the PEG, which is also everywhere in the world? It's incredible. But as usual, they don't concern themselves with the safety, only the agenda. 20 years ago, they told you they were going to alter evolution with nanotechnology. A government document told you that. But I'm a conspiracy theorist for saying it today. Now, here is Grignard Pure, the website. A few things I want to show you here, so I'm going to circle back to this in a minute, but this is just the page where it's talking about this. Grignard Pure is the product. What was it? Grignard. Oh, well, I guess the main page is Grignard something at the company. So this is just the pure part of their products. Now it says, which is the one we're discussing, the what they're calling the antimicrobial air treatment. Now it says the first and only antimicrobial air treatment approved by the EPA. I just find this very telling, and I'll show you why. Provides continuous coverage and protection when in use. Now you could argue when in use is, you know, I'm jumping the gun a bit. We're going to talk about whether or not this is meant to be used continuously, sprayed on you when you enter a room, or whether it's meant to be sprayed as a treatment to a room when no one else is around. I think all of you in the chat are already thinking about what we've already seen. Things like this are already being used. We've seen it in China. People are being sprayed with this, or variations of this antimicrobial type stuff, right? We've seen it. Now, this, I'm going to show you, in my opinion, is clearly suggestive of the fact that it will be either used while you're around or continuously used in areas in subtle ways, such as through air ducts that you don't. I mean, the idea is that this seems to suggest a continuous use, or at the very least that it's used so ubiquitously that it's not something you can get away from. That's why it says when in use, but received approval again. So we're going to come back to this. I forget. I think we were going to watch this. Yeah, I've got it queued up there. Okay. So we're going to come back to this in a second. So I want to focus on the idea of the approval real quick. Here is Business Wire. EPA awards Section 18 public health emergency exemption. That's what this is. It's a Section 18 public health emergency exemption. Not the same as being approved. Yet even the EPA is playing it fast and loose with those two terms. It says it's the only EPA-approved antimicrobial air treatment solution. And then, of course, following up, it says, well, the approval comes in the form of a Section 18 public health emergency exemption. Not the same. You can look these things up. It's not that an approval is something different. But, of course, just like with the vaccine, even though right now, by the way, they're beginning tests on pregnant women, even though they've already told you should take it if you're pregnant. That's my point. that's not approved if they're only now beginning tests for people that they're telling. It's all backward. You are the test. That's what all of this stuff is, whether this is part of that or not. But Section 18, public health emergency exemption, is what we're talking about. Here is the EPA's website. Here's, it says the same thing. EPA approves emergency exemption. So approving an emergency exemption is not the same as approving the drug for use. I think this is no-brainer. We all know this. It's the same reason the vaccine is not approved. It's simply authorized under emergency use, even though plenty of mainstream has floated that, danced that line pretty vaguely. But here's what it says. The EPA is issuing an emergency exemption for Grignard Pure to be used in certain indoor spaces where social distancing can be challenging. So right there, this is going to be applied to every government building, whether or not social distancing is challenging, as well as corporate stores and everything we're going to see. Use of this product does not eliminate the need for critical precautions like wearing a mask or social distancing. Of course. So no matter how many things they do that they tell you is going to keep you safe, you still have to do the other things because it's about compliance and showing that you're complying. Not about actually keeping you safe, because they don't. Social distancing, you could argue being away from anything will keep you safe, but the idea of wearing this mask is only increasing your risk of illness, period. The science and the data is unequivocal. I'm not saying whether or not they don't possibly have some effect. What I can tell you is that every random controlled trial has found that they do not have a statistically significant reduction of transmission. Nobody can tell me I'm wrong with that, because that is the fact. But they also have a lot of negative side effects, and that's very, very clear. Hypoxia, hypercapnia, potential bacterial pneumonia, potential infections in your mouth, mask mouth, cracked teeth, bad breath, on and on and on. These are all infections. Thrush, oral thrush, which is a yeast infection in your mouth, which then also continually leads to periodontal disease and bacterial pneumonia, which is very simple. Streptococcus is one of the most common in your mouth. That's the most common to cause bacterial pneumonia. When your mouth dries out due to wearing a mask, it can be pulled back into your lungs. This, you can look this up on periodontal.org. But they tell me I'm a fake news conspiracy theorist for making that claim. It says this exemption has been granted to Georgia and Tennessee state governments. Areas of particular concern include break rooms, locker rooms, bathrooms, lobbies, elevators, eating areas, food preparation areas, despite not supposed to being around food. It even says eating areas within healthcare facilities, interstate transportation, food processing facilities, indoor spaces within buildings, including government facilities where people are conducting activity deemed essential by the state. Now you tell them, let me ask you this. You're dealing with a bunch of elderly people in healthcare facilities, nursing homes. Are we going to move them out of the rooms and continue to, and then you're going to flush the area and then wait, and where are you going to keep them all while that's happening? Clearly, guys, we can see that this is going to be abused, and this will be used in places where people are. That's my opinion. And I think it's very clear that this is what is being floated. And we know that this has and I'll get to it more in a minute. I'll show you directly from the sheet itself that the TEG in particular has negative effects. And if you're, and we're talking about people in already potentially dangerous situations, elderly people that are already in dangerous positions with all of this. They're already at risk to a lot of things. And all you're going to do is you're going to force them to wear a mask. Which increases their risk of other bacterial infections. You're going to pump this stuff in different areas, which if they breathe in will potentially increase that same concept. It's almost like they want this to happen at some level. Call me a crazy conspiracy theorist, plenty do. Today, we are approving the first ever airborne antiviral product that will help fight the spread of the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19, according to the EPA minister. So he himself says, are approving. That's not what that was. It's not approving it. They're approving an emergency use authorization, an emergency exemption. We are deeply grateful to the diligent teams at EPA who are tireless in evaluating and validating the health, safety, and efficacy of Grignard Pure as the first of its kind antimicrobial air treatment, says the government, says healthcare officials. No, says the CEO of Grignard Pure. Because we care about that, right? We care how much, you did such a good job at checking our stuff for safety. Or maybe not. Or you would say that no matter what. Why would you care about what the CEO says about how well the EPA did in regard that being? Anyway, it's just ridiculous. They're always framing these other companies as part of the good, like part of the righteous side fighting for you. These are companies with a profit motive that will do whatever they can to make that profit. And the companies that work with the government tend to be some of the worst. you know, the DuPonts of the world, that work with Teflon and allow pregnant women to continue to do that, even though they know it happens, or the Monsantos, or all these people that have a long, or the Pfizers that have a very clear history of lying and putting people at risk. But who cares? It says EPA is approving these emergency exemption requests from Georgia and Tennessee under Section 18 of the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, Roticide Act. No one's denying that's what this is. They're under an act that approves insecticides and fungicides. They're approving something that they're going to pump into food areas. Triethylene glycol is the active ingredient in Grignard Pure. TEG is commonly used in fog machines for concerts and theater productions. And I'm going to get to the point in that is that right there is dangerous. And they say it themselves. You shouldn't breathe it in. You shouldn't be around this for long, you know, basically outside of limited scenarios, basically. Not continuous used over and over where people will work and be in all the time. But when you look at it in regard to the Grignard Pure, as RFK pointed out, they'll say this one is good. There's no, you know, there's no worries like that. But then on the document for the fog machine stuff, it says all of that stuff, even though it's the same concern with TEG. That means they're lying to you guys very clearly. They're hiding the concerns when it applies to COVID-19, like everything else. And they're talking about it on places who knows, they may quietly and retroactively remove the ones in the fog machines because they're there from a long time ago, or maybe not. Maybe they just don't think you're smart enough to see through it. Show them they're wrong. EPA reviewed all available data on the product's effectiveness and safety and concluded that it is capable of killing 98% of airborne SARS-CoV-2. TEG may be an irritant for sensitive populations. How many? Who? Which ones? Who cares? 98%. So understand, even though I'll make this point in a minute, if it only kills 98%, that means 2% of it will still be present. So that's relevant. We'll get to it in a minute. So here is the Electronic Code of Federal Regulations, where it's telling you what Section 18 is. Purpose and scope. Section 18 of the Act authorizes the administrator to exempt state and federal agencies from any provision of the Act if he determines that emergency conditions exist which require an exemption. So what emergency conditions exist right now? Why are we saying that it's an emergency? If Biden just removed the state of emergency, why are we saying it's an emergency when numbers are continuing to go down dramatically? Why are they saying it's an emergency when what they say is the solution to this, the vaccine, is already present, right? Under any definition, there's no way you can argue we're in what justifies an emergency exemption, but they're doing it anyway. That alarms me quite a bit, in fact. The regulations in this part establish procedures whereby the administrator may exempt a federal or state agency from the provisions of the Act, which regulate the manner in which a pesticide is made available. All of this pertains to pesticides. So either that's using a pesticide on you, or they're applying something that applies to pesticides or fungicides to something that it shouldn't be applied to. You look at it however you want. They don't follow the rules, guys. They never have. And, well, I thought I had it. Oh, I just did it next. Oh, wait a minute. Moving too many things around. Okay, there it is right there. Yeah, okay, I'll come back to that. So, moving forward, on the EPA website as well, under pesticide registration, because that's what we're dealing with, types of registrations under the very act that they're telling you that they approve this for. The FEFRA. And this is emergency exemptions, again, under Section 18 of FEFRA. Which, just in case you forgot, that is what this was authorized under. We're talking about, I'm already forgetting what it stands for. What in the heck? I just saw it. There it is. Wow. Okay, it stands for Federal Insecticide, Fungal, and Rodenticide Act. And that's what this is authorized under. I showed you all the other ones as well. So it says, under FEFRA, Section 18, we can allow state and federal agencies to permit the unregistered use of a pesticide. Unregistered. A pesticide. In a specific geographic area for a limited time if emergency pest conditions exist. So what's the emergency pest condition? COVID-19 is not a pest. I guess we're just playing it fast and loose with these definitions, right? And only a certain geographic area. So I guess they're just going to say all of the country. And what's the limited time? They said possibly a year. There's no real time frame here. We don't get to hold them accountable. It's all under this foggy gate, this foggy air time, this claim of danger, COVID stuff and we're concerned and we have to do things fast without checking with anybody because we're all in danger. That's this kind of air that's always been going on here. It's not true. It's just basically giving them carte blanche to do all kinds of authoritarian actions. It says this typically arises when agricultural growers and other encounter a pest problem on a site for which there is either no registered pesticide available or for which there is a registered pesticide that would be effective, but is not yet approved for use on this particular site. So EPA, which one is it? Are we dealing with the no registered pesticide available or that this one is not registered yet? Oh, it's neither of those things. So I'd love to see where this fits in. Exemptions may also be approved for public health and quarantine reasons. But again, we're talking about pesticides for pests. But I guess this is how they jam it in at the very end. Public health and quarantine reasons. None of this seems legit, guys. And understand, EPA has already granted the first ever COVID-19 related Section 18 emergency exemption under the same act back on August 24th. EPA announced an emergency exemption in the state of Texas that permits American Airlines, we already talked about this, and Total Orthopedic Sports and Spine to use an antiviral that kills microbes like COVID-19 on surfaces for up to 7 days. Also remember, actually, let me look this up real quick. Remember, this already happened in Tennessee, right? This is crazy. I only just thought about this. So the Tennessee governor, of all people, as we're now currently approving this in Tennessee, has already handed out masks that were treated with this with a pesticide. Let's see which one it was. I don't even remember. Discovered that those face masks meant to slow the spread of COVID-19 were treated with a controversial substance that's registered as a pesticide. It says the substance is an antimicrobial designed to ward off odors. Doesn't sound like the same thing, but maybe it's very connected. If I had remembered this, I would have checked this out before I went live. I wouldn't wear one, said Dr. Warren Porter, a professor of environmental toxicology. Nobody wants to breathe in COVID, but I wouldn't want to be breathing in something that I also knew could be poisoning my body. Very interesting. Here it is. It says the search of the web reveals filings with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Here it is. Silvador is it registered as a pesticide that is harmful if inhaled? So I'm going to follow up on this. Maybe you guys could look into it as well. Oh, shocker. How perfect is that? DuPont is the one who makes Silvador. Perfect. That just came full circle, didn't it? What great. It's always the same people working with the same criminals. It's always the same thing. But this is really incredible. I don't want to forget to include this because this is right on point with the discussion. In Tennessee, of all places, they already handed out masks with pesticides on them, and it wasn't antimicrobial. So this is not new, guys. And this is the point, and this is already happening back then. It's not new that they've handed this stuff out. This has been floating around, and all these are talking about nanoparticle scenarios. And it says under FIFA, EPA regulates all pesticides. I think we already talked about all of that. Only emergency use. Now, on the same EPA site, it talks about being unregistered, which is important, and an emergency, which is important. Those are 2 points we pointed out. But it says the EPA allows limited use of the pesticide in defined geographic areas for a finite period of time, which is, again, they're just flouting that entire point. Once EPA confirms that the situation meets the statutory definition of an emergency condition, they haven't confirmed that. They're just going under the assumption that COVID-19, well, obviously it's an emergency. They never confirmed that it met the statutory definition according to this document. Let's look at it ourselves. This is what they link to. And because this is the point. They're telling you, here's the code right here. So let's find out if they actually met this. Now, here are the types of exemptions. There are 4 types of emergency exemptions which may be authorized. Specific, quarantine, public health, and crisis exemptions. So they would have had to confirm and prove that this met these definitions before they made it happen. Let's prove now that they didn't do that. It says specific exemption first. A specific exemption may be authorized in an emergency condition to avert, well, a significant economic loss. Well, too late for that. The government did that to us. Significant risk to endangered species, no. Threatened species, no. Beneficial organisms, no. Or the environment, no. Okay, so what are we talking about? Well, it's not a specific exemption unless you want to pretend that this is threatening the human species, and I think that's a wildly ridiculous stretch. Quarantine exemption. A quarantine exemption may be authorized in an emergency condition to control the introduction or spread of any pest. Again, a pest that is an invasive species or is otherwise new or not therefore known to be widely prevalent or distributed within throughout the United States and its territories. So clearly this has nothing to do with the pest. I guarantee you this is what they're using, but there's no, they don't get to just alter these things to allow things to be used that shouldn't be used. This has nothing to do with antimicrobial sprays in regard to COVID-19. Public health exemption. A public health exemption may be authorized in an emergency condition to control a pest that will cause significant risk to health. I mean, they may just be using virus instead of pest, but that's not legit. Crisis exemption. A crisis exemption may be utilized in an emergency condition when the time from discovery of the emergency to the time when the pesticide use is needed is insufficient to allow for the authorization of a specific quarantine or public health exemption. So are we going to pretend like right now they're in such a time crunch that they have to do this instead of going through the proper use or showing that they are in fact quarantining already, or there already is public health? I mean, all these things are happening. So there's no rhyme or reason to this. It's just, we're going to do this because we want to. Now let's get into why I think this is dangerous. First of all, it says kills more than 98% of the SARS-CoV-2 virus in the air. We just talked about that. Now going down here, here's a couple of points they make. First, it says, and this is how do we know it's safe? It says, first, we're going to tell you some things that you can't really make sense of. Like, I love how lately they give you a lot of these observational things. Well, no one's ever complained, so it must be safe. That doesn't really amount, but that's what they say. First, hundreds of millions of people around the world have been exposed to a product with properties identical to this. Okay, so not the same product. Make sure that's clear. Over the past 20 years, without a single health concern ever reported. Okay, so it's not the same product. So why is that relevant? Their point is, first of all, recognize that even if it has TEG in it, which is a nanoparticle, how often do you think these people are going to get some kind of weird respiratory issue and then assume that it has to do with nanoparticles or the company that makes them? I mean, it's my point is, if people recognize these problems, they find out days later and I would argue do not end up going, oh, it was probably those nanoparticles from Grignard Pure. So what they're saying is never a single health concern ever reported. Well, that doesn't really fly for me because you know what? There's like countless concerns about the vaccine being reported that they're dismissing right now. In addition to those referenced above, those exposures range from the Louvre Museum in Paris to conventions to banquets where food is served. So they literally just said you shouldn't be doing this where food is being served, and yet they say it right there. So even on their own thing, it's dangerous to food and food service and food locations and preparation. More important, the ingredients in Grignard Pure have been subject to rigorous testing and shown to be safe. Yeah, that may be the case, but this is where we've also gotten in this COVID-19 world, where the company who has a profit motive in regard to claiming that their product is safe and that's how they make money is the one that we're resting on, that their statement, well, we studied it and it's safe. Oh, okay. Like Trump trusting Pfizer about how safe their product is. That's crazy. Either you're paid off or you're really not that smart because they have a profit motive and they've lied about safety before. So when Grignard Pure is saying it's safe, trust us. I'm not trusting that. I want to see it. And even then, I'm going to do my own research. Grignard Pure is safe with no toxicology endpoints. Oh, but don't forget, that's fake news if you do your own research. I'm going to do my due diligence. Start saying it like that because they watch them bend over backwards and try to tell you due diligence is dangerous. Grignard Pure is safe with no toxicology endpoints identified for adverse effects. That is straight up not true. Not true. I'll show you myself. Adverse effects are exactly what TEG and PEG are. What are the potential issues we're talking about? It says interesting. That's two words. That's interesting. I wonder which one it is. Maybe both, conducted a toxicity review assessment in May 2020, which confirmed the product is safe for use when used as directed and a population is exposed for an extended period of time. So that is the way that they'll be, well, if they didn't use it directed, that's what I was looking for the word, used as directed. That'll be the way that they can sidestep this when things inevitably start happening. Well, they just didn't use it as directed. Well, you clearly seem to suggest it should be used in pretty ubiquitous ways. It says this, and this is in regard to, oh wait, I thought I had one more. No. It says Is Grignard Pure safe for people with compromised immune systems or respiratory problems? It says the safety of air treatment products like Grignard Pure is demonstrated by their long history of use with no significant health concerns reported. That is not an answer to that question. The safety of air treatment products like this is demonstrated. How about you just say, yes, it's safe? Don't say some backward abstract, you know, well, this thing here demonstrates the safety of this product, which could be absent. Yes. Which could be low. Yes. But it's demonstrated by this. It doesn't answer the question at all. By a history of no significant health concerns reported? Well, wait, what if they don't know what was making them sick? What if they don't understand who they should report to? What if any number of things? That's not a fair thing to say. Locations using Grignard Pure will prominently display treated with Grignard Pure seal. Well, at this point, I would argue that's something that I'm going to stay very, very far away from. So if you see a sign, let me know. And if you see it being used without a sign, let me know. Because I already think I have insight on things already happening like that in this state. But I haven't confirmed it, so I'm not going to go in too deep. But I have people that are already telling me that they've seen things like this already in use at certain stores and didn't see any kind of display. But I'll follow up on that and confirm whether that's true or not. It says, how does Grignard Pure work? This gets a little technical, but it is important to know. Grignard Pure forms small droplets that float in the air. The active ingredient in the Grignard Pure vapor and nanoparticles actually condense on virus particles, reaching a lethal germicidal level. So going back to the 98%. So it kills 98% more than, not 100 is the point. Meaning at some level, there are, after this is used, still pieces of this virus there. So if they're telling you that the active ingredient in this, which is the triethylene glycol, actually condense on the virus particles, right? So now you have a virus particle floating in the air with a nanoparticle, which has already reached lethal germicidal level, as they told you. So some of them still remain with that lethal genocidal level. So what happens to that? Is that not possibly dangerous? Yes, it is. Maybe small, maybe a small risk, but you're talking about TEG of its in and of itself being a concern. Then you're talking about whatever this virus is that it mixes with and still in the air, maybe less than 2%, but it's still there, breathing that in. I just found that interesting. But that's the smaller part of all of this. I want you to take a listen to what the actual employee of Grignard Pure had to say about this, because I called earlier today and I checked into this stuff. Now, this is the entry-level individual, but someone that definitely works for Grignard Pure that is telling you what they were very least told to say. And you'll find it quite shocking that it seems to challenge a lot of what we just read from their website. Take a listen.
So you're saying ultimately that it's not to be, maybe I'm misunderstanding. I thought it said it was for your store, so like when people come in and out, they can be disinfected. You're saying it's not people?
Yes, you're not supposed to be sprayed by it because it's supposed to be sprayed on the environment. Like, let's say you're in an enclosed room. If there's a mist or a machine that sprays it and looks like a fog, it's so thin that it would look like it's foggish inside the room. And then it would disinfect and kill the viruses, the bacteria, and even the molds inside a specific room. So
okay,
if you would be, if it would be sprayed on people, that could be detrimental to their health. And of course, we don't want you having that problem in the future.
Okay, well, great. And thank you for letting me know this because I think I had the wrong mindset on this. Okay, but this is still very interesting. Definitely something that I could use. So in this sense, though, it's something that, let me put it this way. How long do they need to be gone before they can come back in the area that was just treated?
Technically, let me just see if I have that detail because I'm not really the best person to view the details. Okay. Although we were given a broad detail about the installation, the process, but for the technicalities, how long or the period it needs to stay inside a room, those are not part of the training that we've had with Grignard.
Okay.
So since, let me just take a look at details. Oh, have you tried going through our website as well?
I plan on it. I plan on it. I just figured I'd give you a quick call and see what you see the item.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Grignard Pure?
Grignard, yes.
Grignard. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to take notes. But yeah, my big thing was just about the, the reason I guess I'm confused is because it looks like the release on the EPA website seems to suggest this is more so for just constant use and air conditioning. And I was like, oh, perfect, because that way we can just kind of run it, and just keep the area clean. But I guess I misunderstood that.
I think the reason why it says that it is safe because when you inhale it, it's not bad for you. But of course, this could still be there could be still potential dangers as well.
Okay.
Although, go ahead.
No. So I was gonna. So ultimately, it's not immediately dangerous, but we shouldn't be using it where people can breathe it in, if at all possible.
Yes, that is right. So if, let's say, it's an accidental breathing in, let's say for a pregnant woman or people with asthma would accidentally breathe it in, it won't be fatal right away. But of course, if you keep on inhaling something like this on a regular basis, we have not tried doing that on people because, of course, this is meant for killing viruses and bacteria, not for people. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think you've given me a lot. So what was the website, just so I have that, so I can look at it when we're done?
The website is www. The spelling is GRIGNARD, and then your PURE.com.
Okay, perfect.
Well, pretty interesting, wouldn't you say? Now, there's a lot. I want to come back to this so I can show you a couple images here. Make sure this is still on. Okay, good. So there's a few things that I thought were really stood out there. There's that one part in the middle there where I wish I would have let her finish what she was saying. But at the end of the day, she's an entry-level person, right? So at the very least, but what I found, one of the first things that stands out to me is she starts off by saying, no, this is dangerous and you shouldn't be around it and it's not good for people. But then there's a pause. I asked that question and you can hear there's like a 5-second pause. And she clicks back in and says, no, if you breathe this, it's not dangerous. Which literally contradicts what she just said in the beginning of the call, but then follows it up by saying, but yeah, it's bad and dangerous and people shouldn't be around this. Right. But that's, I mean, you can see the images. This is why I had these up while she was talking. First of all, this is one. Let me just mute this so I can play it. This is one where you can literally see the people standing, right? So they're, I mean, yes, these are graphics, but they're showing you the HVAC unit, the sensors, recognizing whatever, which by the way, is another point to think about. This is exactly what we've been warning you about. The idea that these sensors can somehow recognize COVID-19 and then initiate some kind of a spray or alert someone to shows you that they're working on medical pre-crime stuff. And this is not even new. We already talked about this in the beginning of the pandemic. They were telling you they were already working on sensors to put on the street corners. That's what this is. This is probably the introduction of these sensors to normalize with this in one part of this agenda. That's alarming stuff. But going forward, first, then just recognize you see it coming in, right? You see the people standing there. So at the very least, a little bit, if that's not the case, maybe they should change what they're showing you. But then the last one was even better, showing you they're sitting on the bus and somebody coughs. And it says atomizing machine and it sprays and there's people sitting there. So let's just be clear. This has already been used in the past on people and is clearly showing you that that's at least the idea, whether they're saying it or not. They're saying, they're insinuating that this just needs to be kind of, I mean, the discussion on the website and as RFK pointed out, or Children's Health Defense, they're talking about putting this in the HVAC, in the heating, in the air conditioning. So, I mean, again, back to that original point, that means that some of that will probably be left in these areas. Some of that will probably be left even, I mean, let's look, maybe not after a long period of time, but hypothetically, let's say this happens. They use this in a store, and the next day they come in and they need to do it again. And this stuff, and they even talked about it for what, 7 days, I think. The point is, this will end up continuing to build or be present regardless. So, and including the fact that there's actually even virus that gets left, as I pointed out. But anyway, the idea is, she just told you this stuff is alarming. In my opinion, I'm using the word alarming, but she just told you this stuff is not to be used, not to be breathed in. And if she do, it won't be lethal right away. That's exactly what she said. Maybe not with the same influence on the word right, but the same thing. This won't be lethal right away. Well, that's good. Won't be lethal until a couple minutes in. So I guess we're good. I guess that's why the EPA approved this for use under an emergency authorization under the guise of some kind of pesticide or stopping a pest, and doesn't apply to any of the actual emergency authorization definitions. Perfectly makes sense. Perfectly, in fact, aligns with what happens with COVID-19 every damn day. But to finish this little part off, here's the material. Anyone that's worked in a restaurant has heard the MSDS before. Maybe you don't even remember what it stands for, but here's what it stands for right here. Material Safety Data Sheet. As somebody, as you know, that ran restaurants and as both a executive chef and a general manager for years, this stuff is just constantly updating the material safety information about these different chemicals that you have on site and what you should do when things happen and how they respond. This is the material safety data sheet for triethylene glycol. The thing that is in this that is most concerning. So it doesn't matter anything else that we're going to try to argue. This is the information about what this chemical can do in any sense. It says, may cause eyes and skin irritation. Inhalation of mist of this material, interesting how it's mist in particular, may cause irritation of the lungs. Isn't that interesting? That the timing of this in as it pertains to bacterial pneumonia discussions, as it pertains to vaping and COVID-19 and all these other things that seem to revolve around this. And it says aspiration hazard if swallowed can enter lungs and cause damage. May cause eye irritation. Exposure may cause irritation, characterized redness, dryness, inflammation. Isn't that seem to be the focus of all of this stuff lately? Systemic inflammation may cause gastrointestinal irritation with nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, possible aspiration hazard. Inhalation of this mist this material may cause respiratory tract irritation. I mean, it goes on and on, guys. Here's another one, just in case you weren't convinced by that one. Another, same thing, material safety data sheet from a different company, it would appear. Same thing, triethylene glycol. Here's what this one says. Brief contact is not irritating. Prolonged or repeated contact with skin may cause irritation. So if you're using this one time for one thing that happened once, probably okay, but still dangerous. But if you're using this repeatedly or continuously, as they themselves point out, well, as their material safety data sheet points out, it's potentially damaging. Irritation, skin problems, ingestion may cause gastrointestinal. Now we're talking about spraying this over food areas, break areas. Well, that's an easy way to get it on your food. So gastrointestinal irritation, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, drowsiness, loss of consciousness, right? Good thing they're working at this time. Well, what if they're in a plant working with something dangerous? Hope they don't pass out. It's just incredible. I mean, there's so much more to get into in regard to any number of things on this topic. But at the end of the day, recognize that they're not being honest with what this really is. They're not really being clear on whether or not this is being used or authorized. They're being very deceptive on the authorization itself and how it's being used. And at the end of the day, there's just endless amounts of these things that we know can at least possibly cause immune reactions. And now there's multiple in the field, and we're punching all these things into your body that are abnormal and new and dangerous. It's like a perfect storm of problems that everything that happens gets labeled COVID-19. That's what this feels like. At the very least, here's another example of something being sprayed into your environment that's increasing your risk of infection, that's increasing your risk of irritation in your lungs, that's increasing your risk of immune reaction to all the same problems. It's almost like they're planning this. But, you know, as they say, don't go down the rabbit hole, though, because critical thinking, according to the New York Times, is not helping you fight against this thing where they're lying to you about everything all the time, right? Don't do your own research when it comes to science because you're too stupid. Don't make sure you listen to the government because you're too dumb, right? That's what they want you to think. But they're wrong. And you know they're wrong because you know this stuff. Not because of me, Because you're here, because you did it yourself, because you came here with the intention to find out the truth, to ask questions, including of me. That scares them. So good for you. Take pride in that. Not just this show, but the fact that you're willing to look at any of these. Knowing people will call you a conspiracy theorist because you're thinking critically. But again, back to the point of the fact checkers who are telling you you're crazy, you know, Facebook, National Endowment for Democracy, Huffington Post, you know, the real honest ones. Important. But to finish off with the vaccine discussion, care for a shot with your shot? Tel Aviv sets up a vaccine station in a local bar. We've already seen that happen in the United States, right? But because, of course, drinking alcohol while you're taking this thing doesn't change anything. Or, you know, what about if you have a weird reaction or anaphylactic shock? Does alcohol add anything? Who cares? Who cares? Just go out to a bar, have a party, and get a vaccine that could cause you to die or have an anaphylactic shock or Bell's palsy or any kind of weird reactions, which they're telling you are possible, yet not likely, according to them. But who cares? Go have a shot with it. Go to the bar. You know why this doesn't matter to them? Because it doesn't care. They don't care. It's about getting it no matter what. Have some waffles with it. Here's some Waffle House. That's all happening in the United States. Get some free waffles. Here, get a free beer. It's like they're trying to bribe you to get the thing that they are telling you is the best thing possible. How does that make sense? Oh, I get it. Because all of us crazy conspiracy theorists have just taken control of the narrative. Or people are finally paying attention. Because you know what? I'm not telling anybody what to think. I'm simply providing more information and allowing them to think for themselves. How in the world that became crazy, dangerous conspiracy theory? I have no idea. Well, I do. It's because the government doesn't like it and they're fighting back. But I think the idea of doing any of this stuff outside of a healthcare facility with this rushed, alarming, genetically modified injection is crazy. Because they are telling you that at the very least these things are possible. You could have a severe reaction. So why do that at a bar in a public space while you're drinking alcohol? That sounds scientific? Does it sound like a medically, some doctor would say, yeah, go get a shot and have your vaccine that we're not sure about? Now, the whole idea is that they want you to think, well, this thing is so, basically, people are so eager to get this vaccine that we just can't keep up. That's what they've been saying. Well, now Biden adds exactly what I told you would happen. Verbatim. My predator, Trump, failed to order enough vaccines. That's why we didn't have it. It's all Trump. Didn't you know? It's all Trump. For 10, 15, 30 years, it'll be Trump. Oh, Trump did that back then. That's why this isn't happening today. Or whoever is the bad guy, straw man of the day. The point is, they didn't order enough. Not because Trump didn't do it, but because that was the point. Because they wanted to create false scarcity. But then when they quickly realized that nobody was getting this thing, when 70, 60% of the healthcare workers were going, hell, screw that. Now they need to make up something and say, well, Trump bad guy, because they know that will consolidate a lot of these people that are concerned under their hatred for Donald Trump. So they'll quickly forget their concern and go, yeah, Trump bad guy. And that he didn't do it. And good, Biden's now he's got to order more. Well, guess what, Biden? I guess you don't think that we're smart enough to listen to what these companies have already said, which is that they already had plenty more and they're waiting to put it out. But that's why he came out with this, to be like, that's because Trump didn't do it. So Fauci didn't have anything to say. None of the other task force had anything to say. The HHS didn't have anything to say. Robert Kadlec, the person who's in charge of the strategic national stockpile, he didn't have anything to say. Yeah, but it's only Trump, though. I mean, do you even think that Trump even had? I mean, I get off on opinion. It's just crazy. This is going to be used to be like, now we're going to roll out with it. But now it's going to come with other things where they force things on people. New York City waitress has already been fired. Why? For waiting to take the vaccine when she's pregnant. I mean, it's called the Red Hook Tavern. If you ever needed a reason to not go somewhere or to boycott something, this is it. This company should, if they're firing a pregnant woman for not taking something that was not tested on pregnant people because they are so brainwashed by the narrative. Horrible people. Red Hook Tavern should, I mean, I hate to say that because you know what? There's probably plenty of normal, good people that work there. But you know what? The person who made that decision deserves to be called out for it. I want to say the company should be affected by it. But you know, again, there's people just like her working there. But these people that are making these decisions, I mean, I hope that she is following up with a lawsuit. She will win. But you know, during this COVID-19 hysteria, It's amazing that people think they can get away with stuff like this. Meanwhile, former Detroit news anchor dies after getting the vaccine. Cause of death unclear, as always. I mean, literally, you could die while it's being injected, and they go, well, who, she was old. But of course, when it's on the COVID-19 tests, well, we could be completely unsure, but erring on the side of caution, we'll go ahead and call it COVID-19. Funny how that doesn't apply the other way. Vaccination mandates. There are some good things happening, though, guys. Some state lawmakers want to block vaccination requirements. So now we have some commissioners blocking mask mandates. We have some locations trying to push back on vaccination mandates. I mean, there are some people pushing back, and whether that's for political, you know, maybe it aligns with their political, their constituency. I mean, who ultimately knows? I just don't believe that a lot of these politicians actually care about doing the right thing. That's just my jaded mentality about politics. But at the end of the day, regardless of why, there is some pushback happening. So they cannot continue to frame this as a bunch of fringe weirdos on YouTube. They can't do that, but they are. You have legitimate pushback from countries, from health establishments, from PhDs, the very people we should be listening to, the people who are educated in this in regard to, you know, virologists, immunologists, people that are educated on this topic. Yeah, there's some that say the opposite. But the fact is, you don't just get to ignore somebody because they say what you've been told is not the truth. They have the credentials. They have the ability to speak on this topic, but that's being silenced. They're deleting doctors and PhDs from YouTube and Facebook and Twitter for expressing their educated opinions. I just can't believe we could ever gotten to a point where that's happening. I've always known that's who these people were, but I just can't believe they're being so open about it. But it's going to get worse. Ministers are right now pressuring Boris Johnson to introduce their domestic passports in order to enter cinemas, live events, to live your life. You'll have to prove you've been vaccinated, even though numbers are dramatically going down, and even though there's plenty of reason that you should be concerned about this. Indonesia moves to punish people who refuse the vaccine. All of this is illegal under international law. Australian businesses can require customers to prove that they've had COVID jab. Same thing. This is a violation of your rights in every possible way. As Israel reopens, whoever does not get the vaccine will be left behind. Always a champion of human and you know, personal rights in Israel. Vaccine refusers will be kept to supermarkets, pharmacies when Israel opens up. So your life will be restricted if you don't do what you're told, despite having the international, the law, the human rights to refuse a medical treatment. Unbelievable. And it comes to the United States, just like I always told you it would. Hawaii, right this moment, is developing their vaccine passports for residents and for travelers. The state will give people an electronic code, which will allow them to travel across islands and skip the 10-day mandatory quarantine, even though you can still spread it and you can still catch it, according to all of the information we've seen thus far. Vaccine passports are here. The fake news story that we keep being laughed at about, that they're right now telling you you're crazy for on Twitter, as Hawaii is working on it, as Boris Johnson's being told to do it, as it's happening in numerous countries around the world. But it's fake news, though. Do you not see the agenda there? And then recognize how feeble and easily manipulated these people on Twitter are that are saying that. Because most of them don't know that they're being used. They're going, oh, you're so dumb. And they're actually the most ignorant people on the platform, that are just being pushed along by some kind of intelligence operation. I have no idea what they're talking about. Clearly, it's happening in the United States. So I would just take a moment for all those people that said we were wrong to step up and apologize. It'll never happen. But going forward, first of all, recognize this from the NHS as of 2 days ago. Fact check. Even if you've been vaccinated against COVID, you must follow the rules and you must stay home and stop the spread. Because we know that they didn't even try to make it stop transmission, as Talzak said himself. But here's the development. As of today, Fauci now says the vaccine will stop the spread of virus and will protect those who are vaccinated. Because I guess he woke up and decided that. This is the complete opposite of his previous position. So did they do some massive new study that figured that out? No. They're going to tell you that, but the point is that there's no way that this was done in the small period of time. Excuse me, I have a hiccup all of a sudden. The small period of time between when they just finished and up until recently them saying that no, we won't, that we don't know, and now. But Now they're saying it because they clearly need you to believe this, probably because the vaccine passport is just about to come around. Now going forward, the CDC says those who are fully vaccinated do not need to quarantine after exposure. So suddenly they're shifting into gear. See, the point was they needed to be in unison. They needed us to be ready at the same time. And the point is they still don't have the data of whether or not it stops it. What they're going to be telling you they're using is real world data after this thing has been used, which again tells you that you are the guinea pig. But we have already seen unending examples of people catching this after getting the vaccine. But I mean, look, that's the best point to make. I think about how many I've shown you in the last 2 weeks, last month, of people getting this and then suddenly everybody getting COVID-19. In Israel, thousands of people got it after being vaccinated. I've already shown you recently at least 15 more of people getting the vaccine and then immediately getting COVID-19, or numerous nursing homes where they vaccinate people and then suddenly everybody dies. And it's not that hard to see. But clearly, because Fauci said so, well, now they suddenly decided that's what they need to say. Now it will stop you. Now it will stop transmission. But you know what won't? Masks, because none of the studies show that they have a statistically significant reduction in transmission. But now we've got the vaccine, the silver bullet. So now everyone who gets this and does what they're told will be told they can go back to their life, even though that's kind of not what will happen. But that's the narrative they're going to float for now. Here's a really funny tweet that I just had to laugh out loud about. Right wingers want the pandemic to never end. That's why they always cry about vaccinations. Like, really? Like, of all people that's in this discussion, they're screaming about how all this is not even real, and you want them, you think they want to continue this? Because it's like, the two-party illusion is warping your brain, Brian. Get out now. The two-party illusionists, people with masks in their picture. It's like, come on. Good God. But then here are the sad, back to a sad note, and I'm sure there are many more stories like this. He got the vaccine yesterday morning, had a headache after, so he laid down to take a nap and he never woke up. Of course, it's probably just because he's old, though, according to Pfizer. But they keep asking, so why do they have to wear a mask, right? Why do they have to keep doing all the things they're doing? Why are they telling you that you have to continue doing those things, even though they're now telling you, right? Because it's just about compliance. But even while Fauci's telling you this, they'll also, Fauci himself will say, well, 2022 before we go back to normal. How does that make sense? How is it 2022? If you just said that this will stop transmission, if you said that it's already coming out, we're all going, I mean, the narrative is that this is supposed to bring us back to normal, but we know that's not true for many reasons, because they never want to bring it back to normal. But the idea is that herd immunity will be reached. There's no way that that's not already happening with everything that's already happened in this country, but they'll just continue to tell you that's not the case. Well, Chef M also says no return to normal till 2022. But remember, as they point out, Bill Gates said it first back in January. So are we to pretend that Bill Gates just got lucky? Or is it more likely that yet again, he seems to be telling us what's going to happen, as if he's the one either making the calls or knows something before anybody else, and the Faucis of the world are just doing what they're told?
Well, certainly mask wearing has essentially no downside. They're not
expensive. Well, that's a really dumb way to start that argument, right? Because obviously, medically proved reduction of blood oxygen level, mask mouth, oral thrush, bacterial pneumonia, periodontal disease, all kinds of problems, including not even having the effect that they claim it does. But please continue, Bill.
Expensive bars and restaurants in most of the country will be closed as we go into this wave. And I think, sadly, that's appropriate.
Why? It's, you know, this is a matter of fact coming from somebody. Why is he the one making this decision? There's plenty of places like Florida that aren't doing that. But clearly, he was under the impression that they would be doing that.
Depending on how severe it is, the decision about schools is much more complicated because they're...
Kids have got a 0% chance of dying and getting hurt by this, but let's close their schools.
You know, the benefits are pretty high. The amount of transmission is not the same as in restaurants and bars. So,
meaning none. Yeah, but who cares? Let's make sure that doesn't sound as clear. They have a 0% chance, according to the CDC. And the idea of asymptomatic transmission is basically non-existent. But please, continue, Bill.
Trade-offs will have to be made. But the next 4 to 6 months really call on us to do our best, because we can see that this will end, and you don't want, you know, somebody you love to be the last to die of coronavirus.
When do you think life will fully return to what we thought of as normal back in January? No masks, no social distancing, no other protective measures necessary.
That's not going to happen. That's the point. That's why let me think about that for a second, because it's a careful answer. That will never happen. Not only has half the establishment been aggressively telling you that we are not going back to normal, that masks will now be forever because this is what we now know, that this has always been needed and we weren't doing it before. And
certainly by the summer, we'll be way closer to normal than we are now.
Oh, don't you love the laugh? We're being played, guys.
But even through early 2022, unless we help other countries,
it all comes back to the vaccine argument, and we just got to get, as Bill Gates himself said, we need to vaccinate the world. That's what this is all about. Now, to finish off with the lockdown discussion, which will also make you frustrated, Sweden sees COVID deaths plummet quicker than the fully locked down UK. But let's continue to pretend that that's the only thing we can do is lock down, mask, and social distance, despite countless examples of no one doing that in plenty of places, and now even having a quicker return. Sweden sees COVID deaths plummet faster than the lockdown in the UK. And all they'll be able to say is, well, we don't know. Wow, there's plenty of things that could be going on. And I don't know is the answer they're saying. We don't know why, but trust us anyway and keep doing the things that are hurting you. Unbelievable. I mean, I've been saying this from the very beginning. There's plenty of people that still want to try and have a chuckle about how Sweden's being pointed to, but that's typically because they're either blind to the reality or ignorant themselves. Biden advisor struggles to explain similar COVID numbers in California and Florida, despite opposite approaches. You mean because one is being aggressively locked down and quarantined and masked and the other's not? How can they have similar numbers? How does that make sense, guys? Let's hear what he has to say about it.
States like Florida and California, California basically in lockdown, and their numbers aren't that different from Florida.
Not basically.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. Look, there's so much of this virus that we think we understand.
Am I the only one that finds that laugh at that moment an odd thing to say, this virus? Just there's a lot of weird body language I'm noticing from these people.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. Look, there's so much of this virus that we think we understand, that we think we can predict, that's just beyond a little bit beyond our explanation.
A little bit beyond our explanation. Say it with me, bud. I don't know, right? The reason that they don't say that is because they know that they saying I don't know exposes that means they could be wrong. And they don't want you to think about that. They want you to blindly trust what they're telling you. Who cares that Florida somehow has exactly the same numbers or the similar numbers despite having literal diametric opposite actions? Even as you're telling us that you have to do these few things, and if you don't, everyone's going to die. And yet they're proving that's not true. It's just incredible that they can't acknowledge that. All they're going to say is there must be something that explains it because we know that we're right. That is the gist of what he's saying right here.
Florida.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. Look, there's so much of this virus that we think we understand, that we think we can predict, that's just beyond a little bit beyond our explanation. What we do know is that the more careful people are, the more they mask and social distance, and the quicker we vaccinate, the quicker it goes away and the less it spreads.
Okay, what? So she asks him, how is it that California can be on full lockdown and Florida can have the opposite reaction, the opposite actions, and yet have the same numbers? And he goes, well, we know that doing these things reduces and drops it. But what she just said literally challenges that exact statement. But his answer is, this is the case? I mean, that's what happens when you talk to a politician. His job is to sell the narrative, not talk truth.
But we have got to, the quicker we vaccinate, the quicker it goes away and the less it spreads. But we have got to get better visibility into variants. We don't know what role they play.
Okay, so variants being present in Florida somehow make it not as dangerous? I mean, it just doesn't make, the point is, every reason to recognize by Sweden, what was the other one? St. Petersburg, by a lot of places that have shown us that they are not reacting. They're at the very least, there's plenty of places not wearing masks, not distancing, completely open, that are not having the problem. Sweden is the best example, because as much as they wanted to continue to say that, look at the numbers, because people out there who did say that ignorantly trusted the mainstream media, which makes you question their logic and how they discern information. But now that we can look back, the numbers of their overall mortality are no different than previous years. That's why people stopped talking about it, including those haters that were saying that about me. The point is, it's very clear that Sweden is the example that shows you that what they're saying is not true. Otherwise, it would not be like that. Is there a possible, something that makes that all make sense? Of course. But until we know what that one lone thing that explains everything is, we shouldn't just dismiss that, or the other one, or the other one, or Florida, or all the examples showing us that there at the very least is the reason to ask the question of whether this is the right thing to do.
Large events, et cetera. But this is as we all have learned by this time, this is a virus that continues to surprise us. It's very hard to predict, and all around the country.
So moral of the story, just listen to us and don't think. Just like New York Times, don't think, just listen to us, because it's confusing.
We've got to continue to do a better job. And I think we are, but we're not done yet.
Nope.
But what does that look like? Because people are fatigued by this.
Right, exactly. But answer the question though, guy. No, not going to happen, because he doesn't. The point is, Florida is in fact much, look, you can, in regard to, I believe the red was the cases, right? And the black was the death line, because they're reasonably similar. It just shows you that it was doing nothing, or at the very least giving people the freedom to make the choices of their own with guidance, seems to be better, in fact. Where still things happened, but it's going away in a similar way. But when you add the lockdown and the mask, it just seems to increase the problem, like I've been saying the whole time. But they don't care about that, because it's not about helping you. That's why you have people like Gavin Newsom going to the French Laundry in the middle of a lockdown while you can't feed your family, because he doesn't care about you. It's all about towing the line, which we should all know by now. I mean, it's become painfully clear. But thank you for tuning in today. I appreciate you all taking the time to listen, to think critically. Now, I've been putting off posting the clips. I'm going to make sure to post those either tomorrow or the next day, but I'm going to get on a track here of posting the clips from Brock and a couple of other people going into these next weeks. Today's been a really busy week, though. I feel like I don't think I'm taking a day off. Every day I'm going to be taking a day off. Something happens that I need to talk about, because you know what, guys? It's all about you. All that matters. You are here to support me, so I will be here to support you always. So thank you for being here. Please get the information out there. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant. I'm so torn right now on what to end with. I'm sure you can tell as I'm looking through my ending clips. I don't know why I don't pick this out before I end. I always want it to be right on. And I don't want to use the same one as I did the other day. Let's just do it with a Fauci clip. Thanks, guys. I love you all.
People should not be walking around with masks. You're sure of it, because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.